Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you. This is your Bomb Wednesday service. I am Naima Cochran, your senior pastor. And with me, as always, is my minister of helps, right?
Director of helps.
Correct.
You keep trying to call me every week, and I give too much back to this congregation. Working for free.
I be trying to elevate you to actual ministerial staff. Like,
that would be like on the bill phone.
You could be on the back of the church program, but at the bottom, like my name is on the front in 14.5, and yours is like at 9.5.
I'm like eight. I'm at eight. Okay. Am I in italics?
Yeah, you're in italics.
Okay.
You're in italics.
I will take that, because you know how revival go. By Tuesday, everybody tired anyway.
So. But they keep their program, so at least they'll still have your name.
And they make it out of really good paper.
So I used to so when I was the president of my choir at my church, and I was still at Sony, I used to make all our programs for every concert at the office, and do all on the nice high gloss paper.
Well, see, that's the difference between your foresight and niggas not in the church spending so much money on the paper instead of putting an actual in the building fund, so that we don't always have a building fund. But you know what the building fund is, because if you black and you listen to this, your church has had a building fund.
We had a whole capital campaign for the building fund. Anyway.
And then they bring out like the
draw going up. We were getting an elevator. It took them like 5 years to put that down. I still don't think that elevator might have just been ready to open before shut down. Anyway.
But was it certified?
You asking me a lot of questions that I don't know the answer to. I love my church. So shout out to Confident Avenue Baptist Church in Harlem. I love y'all. I have nothing bad to say about y'all. You fill my spirit and my soul. That is my family. I miss y'all. Not that any of them are listening to this. But anyway, you guys will be hearing this on Wednesday, but today, Tuesday, is National Voter Registration Day. We said last week, yes, if you plan to vote by mail, plan ahead. If you plan to vote in person, plan ahead, actually, because shenanigans,
white people be
shenanigans
cheating.
And chicanery and all matter of bullshit, it is going to go down. You guys should expect it and be fully prepared. So that means if you are in a state where you can vote in person early, please go do so. If you're not, double check your polling locations. Make sure they enclose no shit on you while you weren't paying attention. Make a plan for when you're going to go. If you have some time to spare, find out how to apply to be a poll worker in your state. They're expecting a shortage this year. Most poll workers are usually like retirement age, over 50 in that area, and they are
and white.
So they're expecting a shortage. It's a very long day. It's not a lot of money. They do pay you, I think it's like $300, something like that. And it's like a training session, but consider that. If you're voting by mail, you should be on that.
Don't do that shit, y'all. Go early. Look in my eyes. If you're watching on YouTube, go early. I have had this conversation with my 71-year-old father. I am a new resident of the state of Illinois. I spent all yesterday on websites figuring out when I can go early. It starts October 1st. And if I can go in a 14-day range. And after that, early, where I need to go for my precinct based on my registration. Y'all, listen, RIP to RBG. This ain't no shit to fuck around with.
When
God.
I tell you,
this is not a time. But
when did Justice Ginsburg die? Friday, right? So
yes,
that was one of those days. There's been a couple of times in the last 10 years in the political arena where I've really just been like, I wish I was a kid again, and I didn't understand what the fuck this meant.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
The first time was when Obama lost those first midterms. I was like, I wish I didn't understand what the fuck this meant. But that's what happened when got the new. Like, I literally screamed no outside at me out loud in my living room. I was like, no. Because I...
Like Ray J in the One Wish video?
Like
in the room?
Like Stella. Yeah. I fully expect Mitch to push this person through, even though traditionally it would be like a 50 to 60 day process minimum.
No, it's 48 hours.
I fully expect Mitch McConnell to push this shit through. And that is going to leave us with the most conservative Supreme Court we've had since the Depression.
Ever.
Like, since the 70s. Like, I really need y'all to understand. Like, Roe versus Wade is a wrap. Shit, the rest, they've already dismantled half of the Voting Rights Amendment, which is how they're going crazy in the South with all the voting disenfranchisement. Anyway, that shit might, I mean, I really, it just pains me that, for so long we've been so comfortable that we forgot that there's a civic responsibility. Like, as much as people say voting doesn't matter, it's like you might be thinking about the thinking about the president, but people don't think about local elections. You're not thinking about SCOTUS. You're like, that was my biggest fear with Trump, was like how many seats he was going to get, you know? And people just weren't.
How many people on the local level were going to be ignited by him to change your sheriff's and police situation and your local government and your ADs on the state and local level? And your city and state chief justice, which people don't
talk about.
I sat on statewide government editorial boards and met with statewide chief justices of a state. And I literally told one who knew, I was like, I don't like
Meanwhile, McConnell's been just packing them motherfuckers in. Blocked a whole slew of them during the Obama administration and just been ushering in 40-year-olds just... These are lifetime appointments, people. So it's not a game. We're way behind. For people who are like, we might be headed into a constitutional crisis. We might be headed into a fascist, regime. We might be headed into dangerous. Like, we're there. This is the red zone. The alarms are whirling and blaring. Their bells are ringing. The fucking sprinkler went off. Like, this is, there is no like big ass rumble that you're going to hear that spreads across the globe to let you know what shit is real. It's real right now. So I encourage you, even if you don't give a fuck about Biden and Harris, you're voting like, just, we can't afford 4 more years of this dude. It might, honestly, this is not hyperbole. People told me I was being alarmist when I said that Trump was dangerous as shit. This is not hyperbole. If we lose this shit, I don't know when we're going to get a normal election again, ever.
Well, you know what? I have something to add for that. And I don't know how controversial we want to get on this podcast, but I'm just going to be honest here as your director of health ministry. While we start talking about this and shared blessings and all the work that Ruth Bader Ginsburg in her life, and last night I was a history major, and I understand the magnitude of that woman. But as you just said, very poetically and very easy to understand about how important this moment was. Let's not get this messed up, Black people. This is who I'm directing this at. This is a woman who, for all the good that she did in 2016 when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, she literally said, this shit is stupid.
I remember that.
Google it. That was the person that we're holding all hope to. The person that said that Colin Kaepernick's protest was stupid.
I understand
that. That person's gone.
I understand that. It still is really significant that she's gone, though. Like, because I did see some people be like, I don't know why y'all are mourning her. I don't know. But she's like, you know the episode of Game of Thrones with Hodor holding the door?
Hodor.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg was Hodor. She was fighting to hold that door until election day.
Hodor was not perfect, but Hodor did his job. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to say about her. She did her job. Do I agree with everything she did? Hell no. But listen, watch Game of Thrones. When Hodor left, Bran was in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I saw one too. If we're talking about history majors, listen, if we want to get really real, we might have to go into this on another podcast, but I'll give you guys some assigned reading. And I'm not trying to assume that anybody is like not intelligent or anything like that. But I myself, who consider myself somebody who knows a little bit about some history, kind of like I said, when we were talking about Nick Cannon, there was so much about the time period leading up to the Holocaust I didn't know until I went to Yad Vashem in Israel. And when I went, it was 2 months before the 2016 election. And a lot of times when we talk about Holocaust, we start at the Holocaust and we talk about Hitler. We start at like 1940. I want y'all, when you have some time, to go back to the period of 1919 to 1933 and look into two things. One is the Weimar, I might be saying this wrong, the Weimar Constitution, which was the new constitution that Germany put into place in 1919, the articles of which sound very similar to ours, pretty liberal constitution, very democratic constitution, right to free speech, you know, the right to avoid censorship, like a lot of the same rights and privileges we take advantage of now. And then in 1933, it was called the Enabling Act. And what the Enabling Act was a law that Hitler passed after the president had died. The president who put him in a high position in government, he assumed control after the president died, passed a law that said that he no longer needed congressional approval to move how he wanted to move. And from then on, Hitler was in power.
So what you're trying to say
is that Trump will absolutely do that fucking shit.
No, there were things that led up to Hitler before Hitler actually happened that we didn't realize. And the same way there were things that led up to Donald Trump in this country that led up years before, kind of like when Trayvon Martin happened in 2012.
Correct.
Because if you really started connecting dots with George Zimmerman, it kind of tells you how we got here, people.
So I'm just saying that to say, Americans like to say that everything is an exaggeration, except for the things that actually are an exaggeration. Like, y'all motherfuckers will believe that people are trafficking kids out of a pizza spot, but, you know, won't believe, like, some actual shit. So, Donald Trump is a fascist. He's already wildly abused the Constitution. The Constitution is not a sentient object that can spring into action when something goes wrong. It's only as strong as the people who enforce it. They have not been enforcing it.
They have not been enforcing it. Republicans have not been, because we are recording this on the same day as that Mitt Romney reminded y'all that
Mitt was like, actually, I ain't blocking shit. Yeah.
Let me remind y'all that I've been a fuck nigga forever.
I'm going with my party.
I'm the same person who had the audacity to run against Barack Obama.
There we go. In conclusion and in summary, get your plan together, get your shit together. You know,
in the words of us people who grew up in the 90s having a good time, there was a saying that we would like to say on the radio. And on VMA, VJs would say, tell a friend to tell a friend to take somebody's black ass to the party with your black ass.
Correct. That's a thing. Remind you of this every week until election day, by the way.
Which means that, Sean King, you're on hold. But, sir, once after November is over,
Sean going to show his ass at some point before Election Day, too. You know he's cooking up something because he's not getting enough attention.
Because that's what white people
do. He's not getting enough attention. Something's coming. Something's coming with that one. Anyway, we'll come back to that. Before we get into today's discussions, let me remind you guys that Count the Dings does offer an array of programming, a wide array of programming. Yes, dear. You're going to say. Very good. I like that addition. That's nice. I like that. Ben will like that. That's cool. There is on the bomb feed alone, because we have had additions of late, there's the original OG podcast on Tuesdays. There's us on Wednesdays. There is the Woke Bros on Thursdays and Growing Up the Same. And now we also have on Mondays the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, More Women on the Bomb Feed.
So I creep. Yeah. I just creep it on the down low. Just nobody else up us. If they don't wear satin pajamas on that podcast.
I think they do PJs sometimes. I think they do, actually. Not the satin Johns, but
I want them to tell me what goes down on the 22nd of loneliness.
You know what? Anyway, so
if you know the lyric, you laugh.
The Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, I think they're in week 3, week 4. Three very dope millennial women offering perspectives on everything. So we have voices, we have opinions, we have perspectives, we have points of view, whatever you need, we got it.
We have black with their own show.
Yeah, black people with their own show. Look at that. Look at that. Look at black people with thoughts. And if that's not enough for you, we have our exclusive content on Patreon. Patreon.com. Count the dings. Okay, now. We have one thing to talk about that's probably going to take up the majority of this show, but we'll get there in a minute. Black people are rejoicing, speculating, joking, every some such, because it has been announced that Primetime himself, Deion Sanders.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Wow, your neck really cracked, though. You need to go see a chiropractor.
Listen, I just wanted to decide where you go. I'm ready. I didn't do yoga this week because I'm off.
That sounded like a release. I need that. Anyway, Primetime himself, Deion Sanders, is going to Jackson State University to coach football, which is exciting for most of us because there has been a movement towards strengthening our black college football programs to make them compatible with these PWI, you know, big time programs where we feel like our people and Power Five conferences feel like our athletes are not appreciated. However, Karin J. Phillips, has a dissenting opinion. Karin, take it away.
It is not the dissenting opinion. It is the right opinion. Congregation, let me give you a little bit of time and remind you all, let me be the guiding light in the Moses to the promised land, because you niggas is lost cheering for this Deion shit. And I don't say this as a black man coming down another black man. I say this as an HBCU alum, not as alum, but as a sports writer, has covered sports on the high school HBCU level, the Power Five level, the G League level, the D League level, the small power conference level, the professional level, and NFL, NBA, and any league you can cover. It's not many people on this earth that have the accreditation, the resume that I have. So when I say this, this is not a nigga feeling. This is our nigga experiences, thoughts, and facts. So with this said, I will say to you clearly, Deion Sanders is about to destroy Jackson State University football.
Why?
And the reason I am saying this is because I have been off work off week. I have been out today, had lunch with some female friends and lovely dark-skinned black women having a drink. Mm. And I have time for y'all
here with
because I don't
sweatshirt.
Have the writing platform with a hood on. Because I can be sexy, cool, and comfortable at the same time. And it's great sweatpants.
Amen.
Shout out to the Lord. Also, here is why, people. Let me break this down on this platform that my pastor has so graciously given me, because I love my pastor, and I defend her on Twitter from South Africa, so we can get to that.
Okay.
Let's start from the beginning.
Okay. Well, take your time.
Jackson State University is arguably the greatest soul HBCU football program and HBCU program. Google this, people, while you're listening to this or watching. Jackson State University has at least 4 Hall of Famers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Maybe 5. I may be wrong, but I know they have at least 4. This is a historical program. Their last Hall of Famer was Walter Payton, who was arguably, between Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, and Emmitt Smith, one of the 4 greatest running backs of all time. This is not a program to laugh and giggle at. This is a program that has overcome certain things. So you are going to bring in Deion Sanders. Let me give you the things of what really happened. Deion Sanders has never coached a college program in his life. He does not have a win. He does not have a loss. He hasn't even signed a single recruit.
Has Deion coached at all?
He has been a coach at a high school that didn't work out that I'm getting into, and have been an offensive coordinator at a program that had issues, which I will get into. This man has not won a single college game on any level. And you brought him into one of the most cherished programs in not only HBCU culture and college football culture, because if you look at these white schools, many of them don't have four Pro Football Hall of Famers in their history, with a luxury SUV, a band, a spectacle, and a custom suit for a nigga who has not won shit in a pandemic. Why? Jackson State football is about Jackson State football, not about Deion Sanders. Strike one. Now let's get to the receipts, because I work at Walmart and I got them. Deion Sanders, a couple of months ago, if you would like to Google this, if you don't want to believe me, got on Twitter and told teenagers and college athletes during the pandemic that the gang will move on without you. And he directed that as college athletes, unpaid teenagers that are playing a sport that is making money off them that they can't make off of in a global pandemic. Now, if we go back to a couple of years ago, the spectacular collapse of Deion Sanders' Prime Academy. Ooh. This was written in 2016 on February 2nd by Jeff Mosier. It is a breakdown of Prime Prep Academy, the school that Deion reigns. And then if you read the story, you hear about all the terrible things that happened at that school because Deion didn't have his shit together. Ooh. And the qualifications for student athletes that went to that school and why that shit got fucked up because Deion was in charge. And when Deion got pressed on it, I will pull out the quotes because I'm a journalist. This is what happened. One of the workers who worked there, who was a school leader, said, "That was the ultimate demise of the financial situation. I will always have a great deal of regret that we couldn't take a great idea and great opportunity and do more with it." The story goes on to say, and when Sanders was asked about the school from which he was fired, rehired.
From his Deion Sanders Academy?
Let me repeat that. Prime Pep Academy. He was fired, and rehired. A school which was supposed to, quote unquote, create CEOs, succeed where other public schools fail, and do good in the hood. This is what Deion Sanders told the Dallas Morning News, and he has not spoke publicly about this since. Deion said, "That's the dumbest thing I've heard all year," end quote.
Lord.
Now, we can get to another story in the Dallas Morning News on written by Greg Riddle and Mitchell Gladstone on December 18, 2019, the school that Deion just came from when he's the offense coordinator. TC Cedar Hill, the headline is TC Cedar Hill terminated from TAPS. This is the conference that they played in after a handful of alleged violations, including use of controlled substance after state championships. If you read this story, it's about how much of a shit show this school and this football program
but
was.
But this is where just Deion was offensive coordinator. So are we putting that at his feet?
Well, he worked there and the violations are very similar to guess what? Prime Prep.
Wow.
Now we're here. Okay, so we can just keep going through that. Also, let's bring up the fact that Deion Sanders, a couple of weeks ago, signed with the Barstool Sports. Barstool Sports is a very racist sports website.
I don't even look at Barstool Sports.
And
I know it's
as
racist.
Of now, because Deion Sanders hasn't answered this publicly unless it's been in his press conference today, which I don't think anybody pressed him, which I was asking for on Twitter. If you check my tweets, he still may be on payroll. So, sir, you are on the payroll of a racist white website while being the head coach of one of the most historic HBCU football programs in the country. Really? Okay. You have not coached at this level. You have not recruited at this level. What the fuck is going the fuck on?
Well, there you have it, folks. So if I'm gonna say if, because we're gonna pray not. If this goes to shit, you will say Karin told us that was gonna happen. Thoughts and prayers to the Jackson State football program and the alumnus. Moving on. Okay. I feel that makes me feel really bad. I was excited about that.
All of these things are Googleable, people. This is not me hating. This is me giving you factual news.
I do agree, though, that just on GP, Deion Sanders never needs to be in charge of anything that's not directly about Deion Sanders. I just don't think he has the capability.
And what was the press conference, his first public thing? It was all about Deion Sanders.
I mean, the man is prime time. I don't like what is who he is. Is what he does.
Make the program prime time. He's
Jerry
prime.
Beamon, like in real life. Jimmy Beamon. What was that boy's name in Any Given Sunday? Willie Beamon. Him.
Got the latest
creaming. Demon. You'll be dreaming. Exactly. All right. That was kind of him. Okay, anyway. So, Kanye West.
Oh, Jesus.
I had to take a breath because it's just a lot. Kanye Omari West went on a rant last week, as he does.
Born in Atlanta, Georgia.
Went on a rant last week, as he does, because we actually don't know what prompted it, but it was about his contracts. My guess is he's working on an album that he's trying to get finished. He asked Def Jam for some money for something, and they was basically like, nigga, no. And when he asked them why, they told him. This is my guess. This is purely speculation, but I'm pretty sure this is some version.
Your speculation is what you always do, and you be too nice to people to deserve it. What the speculation was is that niggas don't.
I'm getting to that. I'm trying to say how this came about. My speculation is that this all started because, and this is based on what I know of Kanye, based on what I know of artists. Kanye's working on an album, probably asked Def Jam for some money. Def Jam was like, no, I ain't got it. Or Kanye was something like, you know, I want to do a spaceship. And Def Jam was like, you got spaceship money. Some shit like that, right? Kanye stomped, what you mean? I ain't got it, blah, blah, blah. Somebody said something about his P&L. He called his lawyer. His lawyer was like, yeah, actually. And his lawyer did a whole document dump. Because Kanye posted page by page, every single page of every single contract, amendment, profit share agreement, summary, inducement, like everything that he has from the beginning of his career.
And he gave away his whole lawyer's strategy on
Twitter. To bad people. It's just bad. All of it's bad. Anyway.
Fair. This Kanye walked into the opposing team locker room and said, here go our playbook.
So, but the thing is that I've said this before about Ye, because this is what happens. Ye will go on these rants about gatekeepers and things that aren't fair and people not giving credit where credit is due. And the thing is that there'll be some truth in them. They just won't be true about him, right? So he did it about fashion, because LVMH wouldn't take a meeting with him. The reason LVMH wouldn't take a meeting with him is because
they didn't like him.
Kanye is impossible to take a meeting with. You know, you can be a Jobs or you can be a Wozniak. If you are a Jobs, you have to have a Wozniak, and he doesn't have a Wozniak. He hasn't since Don C. That's the problem, number one.
Shout out to Don C.
Secondly, he did it about, he's just done it about the Grammys. Kanye is one of the most awarded artists in Grammys.
But I saw it. I was like, you peeing on a Grammy. But he has 20 more.
Exactly. Kanye has 3 fewer Grammys than Stevie Wonder, and Stevie Wonder was getting Grammys for 30 years longer, right? So it's like,
shout out to Stevie Wonder from Saginaw, Michigan. Saginaw Nasty, you know, baby. He ain't from the D. You know what it is.
Moving on. So anyway, I was not going to get into this because I tend to not try to get into Kanye things, because when I do, every time I do, it leads to exactly what's happening right now, which is when people are pulling me to talk about Kanye for like weeks following, but whatever.
Every time I try to leave, somebody keeps
and he is actually that. Like my least favorite subject to talk about because he drives me mad. But Big Pooh from Lil Brother.
Shout out to Lil Brother.
What's up, Fun? Shout out to Fonte.
The Mister Show.
So Big Pooh saying basically. Because it also does pain me. It's like nails on a chalkboard for me to see a lot of people who don't know shit about the music industry talk about contractual complexities and act like they know what the fuck is going on, right? And Big Pooh wrote about how basically writing about talking about contracts is too nuanced for Twitter. So I quote retweeted it and I was like, yeah, even people who have been in the industry for years don't necessarily understand all the ins and outs of record and company contracts. So
it went
so
down.
I had two different threads. So three different things happened. I had one thread that was breaking down master ownership and the label side of it, which basically in very, very simple terms is kind of like the mortgage lender versus the mortgage. The label gives you all the money, the master is an asset, etc. So moving past that. Then I actually looked at Kanye's contracts and realized he was shit. And so I kind of started looking at his contracts a little bit and breaking a couple of things down. Then there was this guy who went viral. This is actually what made me start looking at Kanye's contracts. There was this guy who went viral, a so-called music executive. At the time, I didn't realize he was from South Africa. He's from South Africa. He posted the first two pages of Kanye's original 2005 deal with Roc Nation. I mean, with Rockefeller. So a couple of things about this. This deal was executed, the page he posted were executed in April 2005. So this is important. Mm-hmm. Because Def Jam was sold in fourth quarter 2000. I mean, the remaining interest of Rockefeller was sold to Def Jam in the fourth quarter of 2004. So just keep that in mind. Remaining interest of Rockefeller sold to Def Jam fourth quarter 2004. This Kanye agreement is done April 2005. It was the first two pages. All that was on the first two pages were his delivery schedule, and the fact that he was contracted for, I think, two albums with four options, which led to six albums. And there was some reference to masters and this and that and exclusivity. Oh, and that he was an exclusive recording artist of Rockefeller. Like, these are things that were in these pages that were posted.
Well, wait. Before... because there are people who listen to this not on Twitter and they didn't get to witness the beauty of what you did. I just wanted to give them a like National Geographic idea of what happened. If you've ever seen a pack of hyenas and then a rabbit runs by and what happens to that rabbit, that's what happened to this ashy ass.
So this guy had already gone wildly viral, and it was making me itch because his tweet said with these two pages, like, and later on in the contract, there was a clause that said that Rockefeller owned all the licensing rights to Kanye's masters, but it was also standard first artist contract language, especially for 2005, right? There was nothing untoward. There was nothing special. There was nothing different. And so his tweet said that the contract summary was proof that Jay-Z sold Kanye's masters to Def Jam in order to get his masters back. So this is where I want to run back. The remaining stake of Rockefeller was sold in fourth quarter 2004. Meaning by the time this contract was executed, Rockefeller was an imprint. Jay was president of Def Jam. At this point, Kanye only had College Dropout. He was like at the end of that College Dropout cycle, right? Even if...
was he still on a producer deal?
This was him, I think, switching over from possibly a producer deal to an actual artist deal. So even...
was this before he had to pick between Dame... and Jay.
After. Remember all that? Because this was done. Okay. It was Jay and Biggs that sold their interest, all that stuff. So also, even if, you know, there was a hypothetical six album deal, again, Kanye's only done College Dropout at this point. Jay was the Black album at this point. That's eight studio albums. There is no way.
What was the name of the movie that came out for that? Remember? Because Ye got mad that he didn't get to be on the Blackout.
There was a movie for the Blackout?
Yeah, they did that documentary. Because remember the Blackout album was supposed to have been Jay's last album? And they did that documentary.
Was it Blackout?
And Jay
or something
said,
like that?
And Kanye said in Graduation, they didn't let me on stage, asked Colleen had to buy two tickets. And Ye was mad he didn't get to perform. Right. And they made the documentary movie.
I think it was called Blackout.
Probably was.
I think it was called Blackout. I could be wrong, but that's what I think. So I say all this to say that not only did the the pieces of paper do post it blatantly, not say anything that proved that Jay sold Kanye's masters, because people don't know what music contract language looks like, what's standard, what's not, what it's supposed to say. They saw something about six albums. They saw exclusivity to Def Jam. They saw the word masters and they were like, ooh. And it was going viral to the point that like academics was picking it up, like block, not actual high quality blogs, but like random ass blogs were picking it up. But still, so I responded to this gentleman.
In my mama basement.wordpress.com. Right.
So I responded to this random gentleman, and like somebody I knew who works in the industry, but on a different side of the industry, even sent it to a group chat like, wow, I wonder if Kanye knew what he was signing. I was like, y'all, this is a regular ass agreement. It doesn't say that. So, and I had read his whole contract. So I responded to this gentleman like 7-ish on Friday night, which is like a little after midnight, South Africa, the other day, 6 hours ahead of us, 5 hours ahead of us.
I've never been to the motherland.
I think they're 6 hours ahead of us.
Atlanta is as much above it.
So I respond to him around 7 o'clock late, and I simply say, that's not what this says. This just says that Kanye is an exclusive recording artist with Def Jam, and that Def Jam owns, I mean, with Rockefeller, and that Rockefeller owns the masters. This is standard contractual language. This young man, who I do not know, responded to me and said, quote,
see this, is what he came for, your neck.
Responded to me and said, quote, are you the one with 16 years of music industry between the two of us, or am I? And then, dear listeners, shit, their family,
God,
my loved ones, I laughed out loud in my house.
Because this is was the rabbit running against the hyena saying, you niggas ain't holding.
He really thought he did something with that statement, right? Like, he thought that was a mic drop.
Oh, he was,
he
out
thought
here.
He cleared me. Like, he thought he shut me down.
He screenshotted and showed it
so
to
I
girl.
Responded with, actually, I'm the person with 22 years of music business experience by myself. Thanks. So, apparently, around about that time, he must have gone to sleep. But his mentions then opened for a party. And there were all kinds of giffages and...
That's what happens after the benediction.
Animation. It was a let out. His mentions were a let out.
You go downstairs and sit the barber and selling peach cobbler.
Yes, his mentions were a fellowship. So...
the fellowship hall be popping. It's always peach cobbler and their red juice.
That red punch juice. And some sheet cake. They were selling fish plates. It was all of that. The mentions... The mentions were popping. It was a Friday night too. Man, might have had some back in the day. My church used to do chili dogs sometimes too. Might have had them too. So
it was spaghetti in there with the fish.
Right. So he wakes up around midnight-ish our time and says to someone, yo, because people was like, yo, get up, get up. You gotta get up. You gotta respond. And people were like, how can he respond? He can't respond. So he gets up. And he tells people, I'm lying. That I've been a journalist for 22 years, which is not the same as being in the record business. But he responds to about 3-4 people that way. Now, also, mind you, in this time, people have been telling me, like, sis, he tried, look at you for the, like, sis, he tries it, this is what he does. You know, he be capping. Somebody had told me that he had recently, like, been...
And I read that shit and I went into super hot fire and I was like, oh! No, he didn't. I was like, I'm not even going to test her. I'm going to let this nigga
first
cook.
He responds to like, and y'all need to know, if y'all don't follow me on Twitter, like, listen, I really don't be into all the, I'm a very mild mannered person in these tweets. I am. I'm patient.
You are. And I'm
and Karin's always like, block these niggas.
But we have this same thing in common. Why I am more aggressive, this is always our rule. We do not start shit.
But we will finish some shit.
But we will finish it. So, I do never start shit with niggas on Twitter. But if you come in my... I tell people, I treat my mentions like my friend's yard. You come in my front yard talking this shit, I will get you all the way the fuck up out of here.
So, he... first responds to me and says that, you know, you've been responds to me directly. After responding like three other people, you are, you know, you've been a journalist for 22 years. It's not the same. You're not actually in the music business. You're lying. That word, lying, say it multiple times. So
first he responds
to me.
You got first, violent. He said you ain't
yeah,
no shit,
first
dog.
He responds to me directly and says it. And I simply respond and say, I've only been a music journalist for 2 years. Google is free because I am very Googleable. I'm very Googleable. He keeps going for 5 minutes. Then he quote retweets me. Then he quote retweets me and does it again. You're a liar. Puts liar in caps. You're a liar. But so at this point,
this is
I'm
a big
still,
one,
I'm still
la-
but I'm still laughing
you.
Though, because here's the thing. The reason I'm still laughing, because people are like, yo, you should be breaking on him. And I'm like, no, because there's only one way this can possibly end. Because by now, people are sending him screen caps on my website. They're sending my LinkedIn link. Like, everybody in his mentions is like, bro, you need to chill. How you not? Even people in South Africa are like, you really need to chill. So
the only outcome is that.
But I'm also like, yo, right. At some point, you should really just go to Google. I knew there was only one way it could end. That's why I was just laughing. Because I'm like, this is really going to be bad for him. So as he kept tweeting and he kept digging himself a hole, I happen to know someone who knows him. And because they had already hit me during those hours where he was quiet, like, yo, I know this cat. Do you want me to put you on phone with him? I was like, well, I don't want that. Fuck that kid. And so once he was back up, I hit this person. I was like, listen, your boy is about to really fucking embarrass himself. You should maybe tell him to stop because he doesn't seem to know what to stop. So that.
This is where that scene. And Gladiator, when Commodus comes out, and like he's like, "Are you not entertained? Is this not why you was here?" But then they fast forward to when he got to see him face to face, and he was about to die in the Roman stadium. This is when this is
so
about to go ahead.
He after that quote arts retweet where he put liar in caps, and I think called me a liar twice in that one.
That nigga lied on your name, and girls. Don't let that
so
shit fly.
I responded, and I was like. And I think I said something like, wow, this is a really interesting choice that you're making. And like as a quote retweet at that. Because mind you, I didn't defend myself. I didn't say what I did, what I didn't do. I told him he'd go look shit up. But whatever. So then like less than like maybe 3 minutes later, I think we must have gotten our wires crossed. I'm sorry that I called you a liar. I didn't really know how to respond. I got defensive, blah, 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 blah. So then, of course, the whole timeline is like, and see, so this is what y'all need to understand. What y'all need to understand about all of this is that there was a back and forth between me and him. But honestly, the timeline was putting a battery in my back because it was so entertaining. Because at this point, I got, you know, my Twitter people, like, camped around. South African Twitter has now been like, come see. Because they're waking up.
I didn't know existed. And I'm that from a black... So I'm saying
because
that like...
Because they're active while we're asleep.
American thing. And I never thought that Twitter was a worldwide thing. I see the trending topics from other
but you never thought...
I never clicked on them.
I knew it was because I see glimpses into it sometimes. But not like... I had no idea, fam. So like at this point, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, our time. It's early morning, their time. And as so he apologizes to me on the timeline, and he actually seems like he's going to take the L. Like, he's like, yo, you know, I know there's a lot I could learn from you, blah, 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 this and that. Like, I shouldn't have got defensive. I wouldn't have had to walk this back now. And then he apologized to me in the DMs, too. But on the timeline and in DMs, I said, I'm not going to accept your apology because you jumped all the way out the window. But you need to take it as game and as a learning experience because it's impossible to know who you're talking to. You're on a whole nother continent. Like, the industry is way too big.
And you don't read.
And your ass don't read. Like, he did a quick scan of my bio, but also there's a link that will take you straight to my website in my bio. Or you could have just gone to Google. I told him Google was free. He could have just gone to Google. So anyway, all that happens, I'm willing to let it ride, right? I'm like, whatever. It was funny. He put his foot in his mouth. He learned a lesson. But what's happening is that South African Twitter is waking up. So now what I, at this point, I'm starting to learn about this cat is that He apparently is really thirsty for attention. He's managed one really successful South African artist, but has taken that and apparently has a reputation for like inflating his name and what he's done and acting like he's like this big shot and label owner and producer.
You ain't Akon.
Yeah, he basically acts like he's Akon, right? Like he's that guy. So as South Africa Twitter is waking up, and also multiple people say he's a narcissist, including a friend of mine who works for Sony South Africa. Because I did have people to call and be like, yo, what's up with Kat? Which he didn't expect to be the case. Multiple people say he's a narcissist. He said he's a narcissist. So clearly he's not all the way healthy. He said, so I'm like, I used to think being a narcissist was a bad thing, but then I realized it was just something that helps me with my drive. And I was like, okay. So I didn't know all this at that time. But as South African Twitter starts waking up and clowning the shit out of him, like they are clowning him so badly, he can't help himself. Even though I've squashed it, even though it's whatever, I'm letting him live. I'm about to go to bed, right? It's like 2 a.m.
Night, night.
Kiziko gets the best of him and he starts saying shit like, well, I still have more experience than she does on a higher level because, you know, I own and run a label. And, you know, she doesn't have experience as an owner, but I'm trying to help women, you know, in their careers now. So then I was like, oh, okay, so we got to play.
This is that scene in SpongeBob when they'd be like, this is where you right. fucked up.
So what happens basically, to make a long story a little less long, is that I really didn't even come at him crazy. Like, I asked him some really basic questions that he should be able to answer if he really was.
Tell me what your interests
who
are.
Who you be with?
Who you be with?
I was like, how many acts do you have? How many releases do you have this year? What kind of annual budget do you manage? If I call your Sony South Africa, are they going to know who you are? Like, very basic questions. But the responses to them, like, I literally had people like, sis, you're saving the country right now. Like everybody's like, oh, somebody's finally started. Cause apparently he just talks shit on Twitter all the time. Like a really popular artist in South Africa, rapper in South Africa, like jumped in. It was amazing how like all of a sudden the entire country is like involved, but also the entire country is like, we don't know him. He's not from here. We don't he doesn't represent us. Sis, please. Like he's embarrassing us. I was trending in South Africa.
You want to know what the funniest thing about all of this is? Is that I missed the majority of it and I caught up on it. And I happened to check my phone and you tweeted somebody or some guy retweeted my timeline that was like, SA Twitter is holding me down. It was something right. to that. And I jumped to search and I was like, what the fuck is not even tweeting? Trending right. for. And then I went back and I saw that and I was literally like, listen, in my moment of stupidness, I'm owning this, people. I was like, SA Twitter. I was like, what niggas in San Antonio upset about?
No.
And then I just kept going. I was like, oh, South Africa. I was like, this has got a whole ass country in a different continent? What the fuck is going on here?
I was up all night. And not even just because of him, because I stopped responding to him at a point because it was so funny. They are so funny.
I saw somebody about trying to make you joke. But
they done gave me three different Zulu names. They done promised me a cow if I come. I'm apparently betrothed to somebody. It was just.
It's the Jaimin Hansu nigga over there waiting for your ass.
The most, like, it was the funniest thing. But all in all, and now to add, like, to make it even more beautiful, the next day, which is now Saturday, this was Thursday going into Friday. This was Thursday going into Friday. So now on Friday, Kanye responded to the Academics post about this tweet.
And then cleared it up.
And was basically like, it's wrong. But your man, like I said, your man is touched, was like, Kanye responded to me. Kanye knows who I am. Today I showed y'all who's boss. So again, definitely a narcissist. And at that point, I had long since stopped. I had muted him. I told my friends to stop engaging him. I was like, he's looking for any engagement. Because at a point, he was just kind of using me to get some clout. And because he was going to leave all the tweets up because, like, he got served by somebody, whatever. So All I know is that now at this point, I don't know why. I don't know if it was because Twitter has a policy about tweeting false news. I don't know if it was because he got reported. I don't know if it was because he got a C&D, because frankly, by the time with that tweet going that viral, with actual legal docs attached to it, to the point where Kanye had to be responsive, that actually could possibly count as lie. And so I don't know what happened, but I know that his Twitter account's been shut down since Saturday. So
here is what I learned from all of this, from the congregation.
Not to flex. Like, don't you never know who you're talking to.
That's not okay. What I've learned. We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I told the church, without letting you know how, in our personal conversation, I learned who you were. But Twitter taught me who you were in your whole self. Listen, when another country on another continent takes up for you, and this nigga ain't never been there.
It's crazy.
This is different from a different hood.
No, it's true. It's crazy.
Niggas on the other end of the transatlantic slave trade took up for Pastor Cocker.
I was really touched.
Off GP, not off. She had been over there doing revivals. Not she had been over there saving souls. She went over there like Miles Monroe or Jesse Duplantis. This I'm going deep for the church people who listen to this. I am saying just off Sunday sermon playlist, tweeting about music shit and a goddamn website on this thing called Twitter, an entire country, which is going through apartheid, and Nelson Mandela stood up in unison, was like, we not gonna let this shit fly. We got her back. They don't know her,
but
yo.
You know what? That wasn't even, but see, here's the thing. As much as
I do not understand if this is more about the wrongness of him.
It's about the wrongness of him. That's the thing.
Or the holiness that is on your body.
I think it's twofold. I think the first thing is they really don't like nigga. Like, they really don't like him. They really do not like him. So that's one.
I agree with
but
that.
But the second point was, and this is what I was hoping he would take away from this. As enjoyable as it was to watch everybody clown him with minimal effort for me, because I didn't even really have to do it. They were doing all of it. Because they were waiting for this opportunity, right? Which also, so lesson number one is, apparently the everybody has their day on the Summer Jam screen is global. That's global, apparently, that's one. Two, you never know who you're talking to on this app. Like, just a little Googling, just a little verification.
Oh, this is every day in my mental. Somebody tried to call me out about this Dion stuff the other day, and it was like, how can you as a black man call out another black man? I said, sir, I went to a black HBCU and I have the honors degree in African American studies. I don't know how you can get blacker, and the school I went to and did this is in the blackest city in American history in Atlanta. I was like, do you want to keep going? Because we keep going.
Listen, just know who you're talking to. But the most important thing is, and this is the life lesson that I impart to all of you. This is the scriptural lesson. If y'all have to tell and convince people who you are, like, there are people who have followed me on Twitter for years and they were like, I actually didn't know you did all that shit, which is what you say, Karin.
What's the name did it?
Kevin. The comedian. Kevin was like, I actually didn't know. I actually didn't know you did all that shit. And you know what? That's fine, because I do talk about it when it's relevant. I don't have to talk about it all the time because it is very verifiable. It is very, very, very verifiable, right? Which is why I wasn't tripping with dude, A, because I'm not his peer. That's the thing I had to remind myself, is that I wasn't going to get so petty with him because I'm not his.
That's a nice way or he's of not my peer. You ain't no
He's not. I'm not his peer. He's not my peer. But
Naima knows Jodeci in
person. I actually don't know Jodeci in person, but I appreciate that. I would like. That would be interesting. Just okay,
ride
whatever.
With it,
all
ride
right,
with
fine.
It. Ride with it.
I'm not his peer. But two, like I said, my shit is very verifiable. So I didn't really have to do a lot. I didn't have to prove a lot. Chrissy woke up. Chrissy Teigen woke up. Said she couldn't sleep. She jumped in the joint just to be like a I'm proof type shit. like, just, and I saw what that was. I was like, Chrissy, that's, I fuck with you for that, Chrissy. Thank you. So again, when you, like, hype is cool. Notoriety is cool. Time
Chrissy did some. Chrissy ain't been doing too good the last couple months. That's good. Good job, Chrissy.
Hype is cool. Notoriety is cool. That shit is not sustainable. If you actually, and that was my thing to him, and I think his account had been suspended by the time I said this already, but it's like, if you spent, if he spent more time focusing on being who he wants people to think he is, rather than just convincing people he is who they who he wants them to think he is, he'd be good money. But because he's so busy flossing instead of actually doing the work, like, yeah. So that actually is the lesson. The lesson is, you ain't got to tell people who you are all the time. You got to announce who you are all the time. And that sounds like a humble brag. And I'm trying to say it in a way that it doesn't sound like a humble brag. Because no, there are also, I mean, Karen, like, all things considered, there are executives out there who are way more forward-facing, who have done way more things that people know than me. But
they not the pastor and use the term.
I'm just saying, by lessening all of that is, like, just be who the fuck you are, and folks will hold you down. And the other thing is that I'm not a mean girl on Twitter, and that's why people don't mind standing up for me when shit goes.
No, you always take the high road, like Michelle Obama, because, you know, this experience taught me one thing, and it was just like, this is why you're a pastor, because you know, are blessed, a highly favored. I read these tweets. There was a song playing in my head that described you, and it was Melodies from Heaven rain down on me. And I was like, how else Melodies from Heaven being draped over your shoulders? There's an entire country and a continent you've never been in take up for
you.
That
was amazing.
Because I thought y'all was talking about San Antonio, Texas. South Africa.
Oh, man.
7 time zones away, never came into my mind to just be taken up for this woman I know who likes to keep her shoulder blades up.
I do. It's very comfortable, I gotta say.
And I'm just like, who did I'm like, did she study abroad?
Did not.
Did she have work in international music? Am I missing something?
You know, moments like that just make me very happy that, like, I conduct myself in a manner.
That's not what it is. Niggas just like you, and that's what we call in the church as being anointed.
Okay, I'll take that. So all it is to say, for those of my brand new South African cousins and or since I'm betrothed, my husband tweeted on Sunday that I cooked. He was like, thank you for breakfast for my wife, Naima. And I was like, oh, I cook breakfast in South Africa. I'm in New York. Cool. They were all sure to tell me that the borders open in October. And listen, at this rate, I might have to carry my ass over there the way shit is going on around these parts. So that has been a blessing. But anyway.
It's a strong back nigga over there.
Y'all be careful out here in these Twitter streets, because Twitter don't forget shit. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, lastly, because I know we're running long, shout out to Lovecraft Country.
Oh my God.
What did you think of this week?
They did a whole episode without all the people I care about in this show, and I didn't even care. Because I was like, teach me about two Asian
women. It was fascinating.
She got worms coming out
they
her
were,
nose.
They were tails. Up? They're foxtails.
Yeah, tails. Because this is an actual thing in Asian
mythology.
Yeah. Mythology.
Is that the right word for it? Yeah, I thought this would be mythology. Folk tales, mythology, lore. Okay, yeah.
What I also learned from this is that players, look in my eyes. If you can rent out a tent,
bro,
and show her old movies.
When he showed up with that rose, I was like,
"You will win every time."
Those little touches. She said she couldn't see a movie. He found a way for her to see a movie. Little touches. You do not have to do like over the top shit. It's little touches. I really do enjoy, I know this part is hard for some people, and I think I said this the other week, but I actually really do enjoy that we get these like these almost self-contained stories every week that still provide a through line. So I'm sure like we're gonna have to come back to this because there was
Hippolyta on Sunday.
I know, and I think I didn't mention on this. I was talking to somebody else, but yeah, we don't know where she been for the past however long since they left Boston. But we're gonna have to come back to this at some point because like a tick backstory. So we know we're gonna have to come back to old girl because he called her last week.
Yeah.
Because something that he transcribed in the Adam language.
No, it was the scene at the
right,
end.
But it's because he transcribed something in the Adam language and he called her and said, "How do you know? How did you know?"
Because she told him when he left and went out, she was like, "Don't go back. Yeah. You're going to die."
Right.
And if you remember the scene from the Adam language, the it three letters dying. For his name that he said in the ring told him that he was going to die.
So,
and that's who he first saw in his fantasy in episode one with. That he was fighting.
Yep. So I'm definitely like, I'm in on this. I'm all the way in on this. I fuck with this. I love this show.
The only thing I was bad about is that I didn't get to see Jurnee Smollett.
I'm so sorry. She'll be back.
That's the highlight of my week. I need more Jurnee.
She'll be back.
Jesus,
she'll be back.
I love black women so much.
We do appreciate you for that. In other news, it's straight up fall quickly. But I'm not gonna.
It's sweatpants season.
I guess I'm gonna say I'm not gonna complain because it is sweatpants season. It's gray sweatpants season. It's also ladies. It's still is hoodie season. Go check that closet. Go check that closet for those team hoodies for those college Johns from his school of choice. But make sure you get the big ones that are kind of worn in, not the brand new ones. You want to get the ones that he's had for a couple of years because they're really soft, right? And they're worn in just the right way, and they have their scent in them. And don't worry about if he tells you to buy your own. No, it's not the same. Just take it. See, this is the thing. They act like they're not gonna let you take it. But if you have it on, just leave with it on. They're not going to do nothing. Just don't ever bring it back to his house. Just don't ever bring it back to his house.
We let you take it if you have that block. But fellas,
it's also still pajama bottom season. Don't overlook the pajama bottoms. Don't forget those.
Fellas, this is a gray sweatpants in public. Answer the door in pajama bottoms is a hoop shorts season. Fellas. This is our time to win. Fellas, listen to your boy. Hey, fam, put a little cologne on and just answer the door, fam. And just, like Marcus Graham, keeps the Prosecco in the refrigerator. And this is going to work out in your favor, okay? And when I say fellas, that don't mean, hey, whoever you love, it's going to work in your favor. Just, hey.
And on that note, we do wish you all a prosperous week. We'll see you again next week. We thank you, as always, for listening. You could be listening to or watching anybody or anything right now. You are with us. We do not take it for granted. And,
vote.
Put your voting plan together. Do not give Sean King your money. And we will see you next week.